Now, regrowing frog cells in culture. This sounds really interesting, really, really hard to do as well. Does this essentially mean we can grow a frog?
It kind of does. So the idea is, not many people know it, but the first animal to be cloned really was a frog, and that was John Gurdon, and he won the Nobel Prize for that about 6 years ago.
Wow.
And so we know that frogs are actually quite amenable for cloning, and also we know now that you can take these cells and start making things like gametes, like sperm and eggs. So researchers are working on this as well. So the way I did the freezing and thawing of the cells, they're in the configuration which should be amenable to cloning, and it's quite acceptable that it should be. So for reproductive purposes, they should be fine.
Wow. This is absolutely amazing stuff. When we hear about the freezing of cells, the cloning of animals, we usually hear about it in terms of mammals and in terms of kind of the bigger species like rhinos. I know that they've frozen some cells from the white rhino who recently passed away. Why don't we see it as much in amphibians? Is it harder to do in amphibians?
I'm not sure, but people have said that it's very, very difficult, and it's in fact very rare. And so when I was looking at this in the very beginning, I did a survey of the literature, and you see kind of six examples in the entire history where this has been done in amphibian cells. And unambiguously, I would say there are three, because, you know, it's not always exactly reported how you would like to read it, because people do things for different purposes. But it might be just the current lack of interest as well, because if you think about human cells and mouse cells, and there are thousands and thousands of researchers doing work on these every day around the world, and so maybe just the absolute manpower going into it. And so maybe I've been doing cell culture for maybe 30 years, so I have a bit of experience at it, and I just maybe thought about it a bit differently than people do.
And that's the thing. Other species tend to be getting a little bit more attention, and other kind of areas in this technology get a little bit more attention. But the amount of amphibians in the world and here in Australia as well that are under threat and that are kind of facing almost immediate extinction is quite high, isn't it?
That's right. So we have about 200 amphibian species in Australia, and quite a lot of them have already gone extinct since the 1950s, really. And it's about 30% of amphibians worldwide. And they're not like the black panther and the white rhinoceros and the elephant and the lion, which are all kind of glamorous animals which draw people's attention. So I think that's kind of the reason why I became involved in it, because I thought it's quite obscure, and also not much is being done, and really we're at immediate risk of losing a lot of these animals very soon. And I don't think there's any point trying to save them once they've disappeared. It seems a bit counterintuitive.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of conversation around, especially recently with the white rhinos, that it takes more than one breeding pair to save a species. It takes a lot more than kind of a few individuals to be able to bring a species back. So if we start employing these technologies like those that you're developing now, then we really are giving ourselves the best chance, the best safeguard possible, I think, at least.
Yes, I think so too.
You said you've worked with these technologies for, 30 or so years. What was different about the frogs? Were there any challenges that you found you were facing because of the species of animal you're working with?
Well, they have different physiologies. They live in different environments, so the cells are used to seeing different things. So you can start by using the conditions you'd use for cell culture for human cells, but they won't be right. You would look at things for mouse cells, but they won't be right. And so, for example, if you look at mouse skin cells, mouse stem cells, mouse lung cells, mouse embryos, they all need different culture conditions, even within one species. So then to jump across to a new species, you have to kind of rewrite things a bit.
Mm. Especially when there's been no real leaps made in the field as well. You're kind of one of the first. You are one of the first to do it, so I can imagine it would be a lot of trial and error, a lot of trailblazing with this one.
There was a lot of trial and error, and I like the way you say leap.
Oh, goodness me. So how do we see these technologies being used? How soon do you think we should start? Is it a case of going out and getting every little froggy and amphibian we can find and starting to collect samples?
Yeah, well, this is the thing which is a bit of a contradiction. So I don't really want to harm any animals that are in the wild and living happily. So to go and sample them, it doesn't seem quite right. So the method I used was, there are amphibians that are sick or they're injured and they get brought into veterinarians or frog hospitals, for example. And if their injuries are too severe and they need to be euthanized, then these people can ring me up and I can take a sample and put those sort of specimens into the cryobank. There's also researchers who go out and mark important animals, so they might take a bit of an ear clipping or a bit of a toe clipping or something, and then let them go again. So this would just be for marking them so they can count them and know what's out in the wild. And I can use that tissue as well. But to go and run out and start taking samples of animals, it doesn't seem very kind to them.
So no, it doesn't.
I don't know if I could recommend it, but I think it's better just to think about saving habitat and understand that these animals are in a lot of need of our help, and we just have to see what we can do to maintain the populations in the wild.
Dr. Mollett, I'm so 110% behind you with that one. I'm so glad that there is someone out there too saying, hold on, let's just not go collecting animals and putting them in freezers. Let's focus on the ones that we've got out there and keeping them happy and healthy. We're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.